This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of This Week in ITFC History. My name is David Diamond and I'll be joined most weeks by the Renegade Statman to look at the wins, the draws, the losses, the names and the games from This Week in ITFC History. Spoiler alert, Stat, are we going to, you know, we're recording this 48 hours after the game at, I'll just call it the game at Carrow Road. Anything to say, mate?
No. Oh, disappointed, you know, but two totally different teams. One team, you know, at the top of the league and we're struggling at the bottom. And I think that showed, but it was never a 3-0.
And also noticeably, you know, when we did get the ball in their box, someone referred to this afterwards, maybe Darren Bent or maybe Darren Eady to give him credit. We just didn't get any breaks at all with the ball, did we? We got the ball in their box that often. Well, shit, they didn't get the ball in their box in our box that often. Three attempts on goal, three goals. But
yeah,
I think we said they unfortunately had the best players at the right end of the two best players on the pitch, Zimmerman in defence, obviously Pookie in attack. And yeah, that was a difference, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I think it was a difference.
Anyway, mate, we've got the perfect antidote, haven't we? Go on.
We have. So after the success of our 1970s pod, where our two older listeners apparently listened to it four times, but I think that's because they fell asleep and it was on repeat. Yeah. they loved the 70s, so we thought, yeah, well, why don't we try and snare in a few more fans?
Yeah.
And we'll go for the 80s. So you know, those in the 70s, they'll still enjoy it. They just won't be able to. You remember older things. When you're older, you remember what you were doing when you were 10, but you don't remember what you were doing 5 minutes ago.
I can't remember what I had for my dinner, to be
fair. Yeah, I can't even remember how old I was when I started that line of that sentence. So let's get cracking.
It's where are we right going first, Stat?
It's the turn of the decade. 16th of February, well, almost turn of the decade. 16th of February, 1980. It's a Saturday. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff. Bobby Robson is in the home dugout, and it's a fifth round FA Cup tie against Chester.
Okay, yeah.
Do you remember who we beat in the third and fourth round?
I do, mate. That was my era. I went both Preston away. We beat them, tucked them up, I think, 3-0. I think at good old Deepdale. And then we beat Bristol City 2-1 away. Yeah, I remember going to that on a supporters coach with a load of me mates. Great fun. Great days. Brilliant days.
Two weekends in a row that we beat Bristol City at Ashton Gate, because the weekend before we beat them 3-0.
We tucked them up, that's right. Yeah. And Robson, so that, I think, was manager of the month, wasn't he?
He was awarded manager of the month for January, and he actually got his award on the pitch before the game. So good spot there, Dave.
It used to be a big old, I don't know if it's a gallon or whatever, a big old bottle of Bell's whiskey, didn't
it? Is it? Yeah. I have some programmes here, but not that one. But there is like this Jeroboam or something.
I don't know if you get that of whiskey. I'm not sure, but I remember seeing a picture. Maybe not Robson
of whiskey. Yeah, that would be. Yeah, great.
I remember you seeing a picture of Bob Paisley with all his he had so many bloody great bottles of whiskey. You almost couldn't see him. Do you know what I mean? There was so many, not surprisingly. But I think back in those days, it was Robson win it 1 month, Paisley will win it one Robson Paisley, sort of like that.
Well, talking about great managers, maybe you could tell me a little bit about the Chester manager. Alan Oakes, he was player manager for Chester, but doesn't mean anything
so
to me.
So Alan Oakes, that I'll give you a little bit about Alan Oakes, is none other than the record appearance holder, still is, about 670-odd games for another than Man City, mate.
Man City?
Man City, my friend, yeah.
I'd say Colin Bell.
Yeah, same era. Colin Bell, yeah. He'd have been in a team along with Bell that won the league in about 1966, 67, yeah. Or 67, 68, something like that. Also won the cup in 69, beat Leicester. So he'd have been in that team. I think you could safely call him a Man City stalwart, mate.
Wow, I've never heard of him. Apologies to Alan Oakes.
Yep.
Chester were in the Division 3. So that was... In League One or the third tier, and
League One, yeah, League One, unfortunately, yeah.
Can you imagine playing in that? Look at Chester, things like that down there.
Who can watch him playing in League One?
Well, and Chester were doing quite well. They were fifth,
yeah.
So, not before the playoffs. So, but fifth would have got you. Well, wouldn't have got you anything because there was no playoffs. But still...
fifth would have got you three places away from a promotion spot.
Yeah. Well, do you want to go through the teams? Which team do you want to go through?
Go through town first, because
all right.
Go on, let's just look at this. Look,
this is. I reckon you could name them. So we've got Cooper, Burley and Mills, Osman and Butcher in defence, Tyson, Walk, Muren, with Gates, Brazil, and Clive Woods making.
Yeah, I bet that was an actual 11 that was probably only seen because I only ever seen that day probably because I, yeah, Clive Woods, obviously no Mariner, who I assume was rested because I did look at this. We had a midweek game and then the following week we had the biggie away at Liverpool.
Yeah.
So probably had a niggle or something in, yeah, sensibly rested.
This was Clive Woods' final appearance for Town. His 267th appearance.
Wow. Great serving, great player for Town over the years. Obviously, man of the match in the cup final, Arsenal ragged at Wembley. Just a fantastic player, fantastic serving. I'll tell you what, and he didn't, so early part of Clive Woods' Ipswich career, really in and out of the team, didn't play much at all because of Mick Lambert. Robson had Mick Lambert and certainly preferred Mick Lambert to Woods. And Mick Lambert was always a wide player, but always good for a goal as well. So, yeah, I think he'd have played a lot more had it not been for Lambert. Yeah, probably I remember him that season. He had a big old bushy curly perm a la Trevor Weimark.
Yeah, that's how I can picture Clive Woods. And obviously, this was his final game for Town, and his career rapidly went downhill.
Totally nosedived. Went to Norwich, and when's this? 1980. So mid 80s, I remember playing against him, and I played for a club called Fonera Athletic, no longer going in Ipswich. And their chairman had a tie-in with the chairman or the committee of Newton Flotman, this side of Norwich.
Yeah.
And Clive Woods played for them. I played against him a couple of times in pre-season friendlies. Tricky, even at that age. Yeah. He must have been like mid-40s. What a player. Both feet. I mean, epitome of a two-footed player, Clive Woods. Brilliant, mate. Still good. Just drop his shoulder. Fantastic.
Whenever I go up and visit my sister-in-law, who lives north of the county border, go through Newton Flotman.
You do.
And there's that bridge just as you're about to... There's a small bridge as you're going through.
Yeah, the mill is a mill, Duffield's, isn't it? Yeah.
To the right, there's a wall.
Okay.
And... whenever we go, we always refer to it as Titus Bramble's wall.
Okay.
Because I think if you search Titus Bramble and Newton Flotman, he crashed his car into the wall.
Did he?
So it's always known as Titus Bramble's wall.
There you go. Yeah.
So back to this game. Clive Woods, he's in the team, and 26,353 people have turned up. I'm not sure whether they've turned up to see many of the names on this Chester list. So I'm going to go...
Oh, there's one in particular, Stat.
Yeah. So the goalie,
Before you say the team, can I just say, looking through the Leicester team, 26,000, we're 6,000 of those police officers.
Yeah. They could well have been.
All be revealed. Go on.
Yeah. Were Suffolk's constabulary out in force because they were looking for the goalkeeper... Grenville Millington.
What a name, mate. He's like something out of Downton Abbey, isn't it? Grenville Millington. Brilliant, mate.
You never get anybody in the Premier League now with a name like Grenville Millington. It never will happen.
No, I don't think so. I don't think let's go, unfortunately.
And these names don't mean... There's a big name, somebody who very early in his career here. Derek Jeffries.
No.
So apologies to Derek.
This could be anything. Could be anybody.
Yeah. Jim Walker.
Not really.
Trevor Staunton.
No.
John Cottam.
No. All these are probably really great players for Chester.
Chester fans. Yeah. Could we do have a, little, about eight people from Chester will tune into the history show.
Absolutely. I hope
always so. Wait for this game.
Yeah.
Alan Oakes. We know who he is.
Oh, Alan Oakes.
Yeah. Peter Sutcliffe.
What?
Peter Sutcliffe.
The Peter Sutcliffe.
Brinley Jones.
Yeah, okay, yeah, Brinley Jones. Yeah, the next one is quite...
Ian Rush.
That's funny,
got there.
Got there in the end. I mean, yeah, Ian Rush, actually, the season after, made his debut for Liverpool at Portman Road.
He did, yeah. If you'd have said to me, if ever it was a quiz question saying, where did Ian Rush make his Chester debut, I would always have said this game until I did the research for this game. And he played about 34...
No, he had. No, it wasn't. It was Liverpool one was his debut the season after. Yeah.
Ron Phillips.
No.
And this guy looks like he's got a name which I haven't finished. You know, I just got bored at the end. Ian Howitt. Howatt.
Anyway, back to Sutcliffe. Peter Sutcliffe.
No, I must admit,
when you sent this game, and very much the infamous one was very much 1980, was very much still at large. That is, obviously, Peter Sutcliffe Chester didn't know that the name was going to be infamous then. But
well, when I started typing the team out, and straight away Grenville Millington just made me crack up. And as I went down, I was like, I completely forgot about Grenville Millington. So
oh, wouldn't you? You would. You really would. But so, go on.
The thing is, there's no footage of this game.
No.
So I'm going to go by some of the research that I did. I've got some things out of programs and some books and stuff.
Yeah, I remember one goal. I remember one of the goals. I think it was the equaliser.
Chester take the lead.
Mm. Was it a long goal kick from Grenville?
Yeah, to Brinley Jones. Because Chester is right on the border, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Chester take the lead after 8 minutes.
Hollyoaks. Yeah.
Yeah, Hollyoaks is Chester.
It is, yeah.
I had an Indian in Chester the night that Town lost to Wrexham in the FA Cup third round.
Okay.
Just nipped back over the border.
Yeah.
Grab which we weren't going to do because of Brexit, because obviously Wales would be off in the
Wales,
Euro.
Be allowed to go from Wales to England. No way.
No.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Exactly.
Anyway, apparently, Bobby Robson said that he felt that Town were patient. They didn't panic and stuff like that. And, you know, it's a cup game and they are, you know, one of the best teams in the country against a team two divisions below. And then just before half time, Burley, he's got a dive and header.
Yeah, I remember that vaguely. Yeah. Yeah. To equalise. Yeah.
The best time to equalise, you go in, it's 1-1.
Yeah.
And then just 2 minutes into the second half, Walk scores in the 47th minute to put us 2-1 up.
Yeah. Do you know what? Most of the goals, and he didn't score many, Burley, you'll probably tell me how many, 10 maybe for Town. Most of his goals, I can remember, the ones I remember were all in cup games. Obviously, the one at Millwall, the thumping first goal at Millwall. And I remember him scoring an equaliser a couple of seasons before, last minute, off the bar in a 2-2 draw again. I'm sure you put it out on YouTube recently, a 2-2 draw cup fourth round, I think, with Wolves. Wolves at Portman Road.
Yeah.
He sort of comes in an angle and hits in the top corner.
Isn't that the one where you and I were having a conversation?
About where the crowd, where the away crowd was. Yeah. You're saying, did they sound the right? I said, yeah, I'm sure they did. Sort of maybe late. And you said, well, hang on, this is 1977. And there they are as we look to the right hand side of the North Stand.
Odd. Very, very odd.
I can't remember.
Anyway, Bobby Robson said afterwards that he felt that the Chester fans would have thought they'd done enough for a replay overall. I think he spoke very highly of Chester and how they played. And but you know, realistically,
I mean, Stout, we,
the next round, wasn't it?
I did some research on this game. We were in a hell of a run. I mean, the week before we'd played away at Everton. I mean, this is how it was in those days. We'd beaten them 4-0, and that's widely acknowledged. And I certainly wasn't there, but widely acknowledged as one of the great games of the Robson era, but no footage of it at all. And apparently Gates scored one of the best goals of the Robson era as well, but absolutely no footage of it at all. So we're in pretty fine form. And looking at the date of this game, 2 weeks later was a 6-0 game over Man United. So you could say we were in sort of thumpingly good form, really.
Fantastic form.
However, I haven't... Oh, is that the one?
The program.
Oh, there it is. So, have we got a mask? Well, first, most importantly, one, have we got a mask? That's George Burley and Willie Carr.
How much do you reckon the program was?
30p.
25 pence.
I was close. Supermarket sweep, I'd have been over the top when I'd been too high. Have we got a mascot?
We have got a mascot. The mascot is...
Have we got the mascot's address and telephone number?
No.
No what? No mascot address?
No.
That's pointless reading it out.
The hell? Well, I'll show you the picture, yeah. If I can zoom in.
The mascot is Father Christmas. Oh, sorry. Gavin Argent from Great Cornhead. Nice haircut. Nice shirt, Gav.
Doesn't even say what house he lives at and what bus he got.
Bloody ridiculous. Ridiculous.
But there was, you could guess the who the Santa person was. I'll give you a clue. It's him supposed to be diving. Yeah, Paul Cooper. He was asked some questions, and fortunately, we have got some addresses here. So, Karen Moles, 37 of Shaftesbury Avenue, Dover Court in Essex.
Shaftesbury Avenue sounds like Monopoly.
Yeah. She won a club pennant for her question, which she directed at Paul Cooper.
Go on.
What question would you ask Paul Cooper if you were a child? Because I didn't even read it, and I thought, I know what the question will be.
What's your favourite chewing gum?
Close, but it would be Juicy Fruit. But the question is, do you decide which way to dive before facing a penalty kick?
Of course it was. That's going to be my second. What the hell sort of question? Is there a memory game with Ron Ellis from 30 years before?
20 years before. Yeah. Ron remembers when Ipswich drew 1-1 with Portsmouth at Portman Road in a second division match. Goal scorers were Phillips with a penalty and Saunders for Portsmouth.
Anyway, Stat, I have got a number one from that week, and talk about my era of music. The number one from that week. I'll give you a clue. You were sort of talking about it. I don't know how we got on this subject pre-pod. You were talking about the band. And the first ever single you bought, which was?
Ghost Town by The Specials.
So it was The Special, a.k.a. live EP, with the main track, which was, I think, number one for 2 or 3 weeks. I think it was the first ever two-tone ska record to get to number one, which was Too Much Too Young. God, dear, mate.
You had too much.
Oh, brilliant, mate. With Skinhead Boot Stomp and Liquidator on the B side. There you go. How cool is that? What a year. What a game.
I just want to show you one more thing from the programme.
Go on. Oh, I thought we love the advertisements. Go on.
This is W.F. Tuck and Sons.
Okay.
And they live in, they don't live. It's their business, they might live there, is in Burston, Diss in Norfolk.
Oh, yeah.
So that footballing hotbed, they are good to see that town got the adverts from.
No, it comes from Burston, Diss in Norfolk. It's Trevor Wymark.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Sad.
And this is to do with, I think it's to do with feeding animals. Yeah, because it says more and more farmers are using tuck feed. I'll get to the point in a minute. Not because of what we say, but because of what the picture they pass to each other, that tuck feed builds healthy figures. And then they've got a big bit above it here. And it says, this is a winner too. One picture that's worth 1,000 words. Does that have anything to do with animal feed to you?
Oh, nothing at all, mate. I don't know where. Honestly, that's terrible. Terrible.
How about anyway, that another thing I want to ask you. Finally. Did you take yourself off to the Odeon?
Oh, so 1980.
ABC, yeah.
I probably did. I was certainly used to go around that time. Go on. Give us a clue.
I'll give you a clue. One was...
If it was a gone one, it was probably a soft porn film. So I never went.
That was not shown on Tuesday. Was Private Nurse 10. Yeah. I kid Go you on. Not. Anyway, so I'll give you a clue. One of the films had... it was one of Clint Eastwood's biggest films. Not Dirty Harry or anything like that.
Not Any Which Way You Can?
No. Before that,
which,
I think.
Every Which Way But Loose was 78.
He made like a dummy of himself. And he laid it in a bed. And then he put the duvet over. So it looked like he was laying in the bed whilst he might have been doing something else. Escaping.
Oh, Escape from Alcatraz.
Escape from Alcatraz.
Oh, well done, mate. Yeah, honestly, but well done, mate. Well done. Yeah, I sort of seen that film. Great film. Bloody hell, yeah. I did go and see that film.
And the other two films that jump out was Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Oh, and that, yeah. I must have seen that three or four times at the cinema back then. Brilliant.
Brian who? Talbot?
Yeah, Life of Brian Talbot, yeah.
Force 10 from Navarone, which I believe was the sequel to...
Guns
of Navarone.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's a great film set. I love the film section. That's a whole new, number one, film
Private
section.
Nurse 10. Yep.
Great stuff, Stat. Where are we going next, mate?
Well, just to let the viewers know, you get to choose the games. Well, certainly, I chose them last season, didn't I? Yeah. I mean, you've chose these. And it is a 1980 special. So I'm surprised you didn't pick all four matches from 1980-81.
I don't think we could, to be fair. No, yeah. I must confess, I did pick a couple, but needed to be. So this is my favourite ever month of supporting Ipswich Town. Got to be.
Other than probably February.
No, but probably is still my favourite. A close second would be the month after the Cup semi-final to the Cup final, of course. That was pretty good.
You're so lucky to remember these things.
Sorry.
I was at the game, but to be honest with you, it was, I don't know. What can you really remember when you're like eight or whatever and stuff like that? You just...
It doesn't stay with you.
It's more interested in eating something. So it's the 21st of February, 1981. It's 3 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday. And it's a Division One tie with Bobby Robson entertaining John Barnwell's Wolves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John Barnwell, yeah.
Didn't he... Whenever I think of John Barnwell, I think of Northampton.
Possibly. Yeah. I think he was certainly an ex-player. I think he used to play for Forest. Maybe been a Wolves player. I'm not sure. But he certainly was an ex-pro. Yeah, ex-player. So,
Town are obviously riding high. And we're top.
Just incredible. It's just incredible this season how the run we had was, and I did a bit of research on this as well, just to say, the run we had was just totally almost mirrored exactly until the crew, well, we'll get to that in a little while, by Villa. Incredible, really.
Well, so we were top, 24,200 turned up, and we'd won our previous five matches. So we'll go through the Town team. Cooper, Mills, Beattie.
Yeah.
McCall, Osman, Butcher. I'm trying to put the centre halves in there at the moment. We'll come back to that. Walk, Muir and Mariner, O'Callaghan and Gates.
So injuries already are starting to kick in here. So you're missing Burley that had done his cruciate knee at Shrewsbury. Two weeks before, probably. You've got no Tyson.
No.
And you've got no Brazil. You've got O'Callaghan, so you've got you've got Beattie stroke. I'd have thought, you'd got Beattie in at centre-half. I'd have thought Butcher playing left-back, I think.
I've got the programme, as you were saying that, and fortunately back then, the numbers were like from one to... So you knew what the position was. So, looking at it in the programme, got Butcher Mills at two, Butcher at three, Osman five, Beattie six.
And you've got McCall in for Tyson, I assume, at four, and O'Callaghan in at ten, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, do you know what? If you could have relied on those, so we've got three players out, so that's still a strong side. If you could have put that side out for the latter part of the season, that would have been good enough. I think that side would have probably been good enough
Probably. Oh, without a doubt.
Probably. It was when, no disrespect to these guys, when the latter part of the season, you're having to rely on Kevin Steggles, Tommy Parkin, Robin Turner, who, brilliant, great servants to the town, but just not up to that, you know, not up to that level. Always quite rated O'Callaghan, actually. He was a good player. One of the few players Robson signed in about four seasons, I think.
Yeah. No, great player. Wolves have got there's a few names down here that ring bells to me. So Paul Bradshaw, I remember him being their keeper.
Yeah.
Jeff Palmer.
Yeah, right back. Yeah.
Derek
Parkin played for years for Wolves, yeah.
Peter Daniel.
Yeah. Midfielder. Yeah, sort of solid little midfielder.
John McCall. How do you pronounce this next guy, sir?
He's McCall. Yeah. Silent E. I think it's John McCall, again, played loads of games. Played loads of games for Wolves. George Berry, black guy, massive hair, I mean, proper big hair. Yeah.
For me, George Berry, if you go back to like the early 80s, my supporting would have been one of the very few black players that I can actually recall. George Berry.
Yeah, no, yeah. And absolutely. So you'd have had same era. You'd had Viv Anderson for Forest. You can name them. Regis Cunningham, Brendan Batson.
Yeah.
Justin Fashanu.
Yeah.
Probably it. Gary Thompson for honestly, probably it.
Yeah. But George Berry always stood out. And I think part of that, like you were saying, was his hair as well.
Yeah. Massive. Yeah.
Kenny Hibbert played for a long time, didn't he?
Yeah. Player. Yeah. Kenny Hibbert. Yeah.
Hugh Atkinson.
Yeah. Rowan's brother.
Yeah. Andy Gray.
Yeah. I mean, that paid. Was he not 1980? I want to say Andy Gray could have been the record signing. I know. Trevor Francis was the first million, and then the guy Mills went to West Brom from Borough. But I think, Andy Gray may have been a record signing at that point.
It says the costliest player in the country after his £1.5 million move in September 79.
There you go.
Well done. Good knowledge.
Thanks, mate.
And John Richards and Mel Eaves.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, both. I mean, John Richards played for anybody else. Played for England, John Richards.
When I started typing out the team, that there was one name that I thought I was going to see in it, and I was surprised. Emlyn Hughes. And I struggled to get in the team.
Probably on the way out then, Stat. I think it captained them, where was it, 1980, it captained them the season before they beat upset Forest in the League Cup final. They beat Forest 1-0. Funny, I think Gray scored, he did. And I think I'm sure Emlyn Hughes was captain then, but probably just on starting on the way out then.
Yeah. So Wolves take the lead in this game. They're attacking the Churchman's end, and the ball's just inside our half, and it's kind of whipped in the cross from the left, and Gray gets ahead of.
Good goal. Brave.
Yeah,
good
Butcher
goal.
Puts it past Cooper.
Yeah.
3 minutes gone. Probably a shock. In the run of games that we were to be 1-0 down.
Well, listen, I've put with this game more than any. This game, I put about to embark on a golden run of games, and it just was. But go on, more of that in a minute.
Golden run of games, yeah. Mate, 20 minutes later, Town equalised, and it's a lovely bit of one touch passing when you look at it, and it finds its way to Walk, who lifts the ball over the keeper. It's a lovely shot how he puts it in, and. The other thing, which is amazing, is that was his 29th goal of the season.
I mean, that's a very good point you make there, Stax. There's a lot of the season for us still to go.
Yeah.
So we ended up, and I'm sure he wasn't injured. I can't recall him being injured between then and the end of the season. So, my God, he didn't really score that. Oh, there's another thing. Obviously, we all know what happened latterly in the season. It sort of unravelled. But, that's a very good point. He really didn't score that many more goals.
No, not at all. And just before half time, the 42nd minute, Town go 2-1 up. There's a cross to the far post, north stand end, and Walk's header. I think he misheaders it. I think he meant to hit the target, and he headers it back across the goal, which is great because then
taps him.
Eric Gates throws himself at it.
Yeah,
and it couldn't have been very high.
A brave player, Gates. Little brave. When he took a lot of stick. A lot of stick in the bottom, amount of penalties we got just through Gates, twisting and turning, getting chopped down. Yeah, brave player, Gates.
Then Wolves had a penalty saved by Cooper. I didn't even remember this.
Cooper saves it, comes back out to Richards, takes it. Cooper saves it, comes back out, and he blazes it over, yards over. Yeah.
That would have made it 2-2. But then in the 66th minute, and I put down a fancy free kick routine. I watched about three or four times just to double check which player was going in which direction. But
incredible.
You've got McCall and
Callahan.
Muren and stuff all darting off in different positions.
Doesn't know anyway, Callahan cross it, or is it Muren?
And Walt plays the ball to Muren, who's right basically by the byline at this point. And he does this really lofted cross. It's a clever cross, because if he'd have played it low, it'd just hit a defender.
Yeah.
And Beattie. Yeah.
Sad thing, mate, but it's Beattie at the back post, right in front of me. I remember a Churchman's End, his last ever goal for the club.
Yeah. This was?
Yeah. Last ever goal for the club, and his penultimate league game for the club. He used to play one more game. More of that later.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But it's just incredible. So we're on. So this was our sixth consecutive win. So what a run. But Villa were the same. Just talk about matching us. You know, this is the fifth match in Villa's seven-game winning run. They just, you know, we just couldn't, you know, just couldn't pull away. I think we were top by a point or two or 3 points, but just couldn't pull away.
Yeah, we were. But they after won, this game, we were, it was our 30th league game and we were top with 46.
We'd only been beaten twice.
Yeah, and Villa were second on 44.
Yeah, just knock for knock. And they had won that day 2-1. I did a bit of research there. 2-1 win over Palace with a brace from Peter Wythe. Now, a bit on that, Tammy Abraham on that incredible game last Friday, the 3-3, when he scored, it was his 20th league goal of the season, first Villa player to do it since Peter Wythe in 1980-81.
Wow. I thought we were bad that time because, you know, it was for a while, was it Jono? And then we had Murphy and you know, Pablo or Cucci.
Did Pablo score? So that was... Nah, Pablo, did he? Pablo couldn't have scored 20 goals this season.
I'd love to think he did.
In my dreams, he did.
Yeah.
In my dreams, he scored about 40.
And they were all great goals.
Mate.
Taking it around, five defenders, dribbling around. And
in the 2004-05 season, did both, so we digress here, but did both Cucci and Bent both get 20?
Yeah, I keep wanting to say, was it 19? Did they both get 19?
Okay. Oh, you might be right.
I might be getting confused with the Marshall and Eminem Strikeforce. Oh, yeah. did they both get 19?
Oh, you might be
so
right.
So many goals. They've only got a small brain now, but very little. So,
he equaled it. First time ever. Oh, you got a program. Love it. Go on, Stat. Look at that. O'Callaghan and Viv Anderson.
Yeah, and how much would this program cost?
Oh, so for that's 30p. The season before was 25. That's not me with a camp cap on. No, it's not me. No,
it is 30p. The
supermarket sweep.
Supermarket. And we've got a mascot.
Go on. And you got his mascot, name. Have you got his address?
We have.
Yes.
They're never in Ipswich.
Oh, for God's sake, where's this one?
His name's Andrew Foreman.
Right.
Of 14 Town Lane Road.
Yeah.
Bury St Edmunds.
Bury, okay. Yeah, Bury.
His favourite player is Paul Cooper, and he attends Guildhall County Primary School. He doesn't walk to school on a Thursday and Friday with his mother. He walks home by himself. So that was all in the programme back then, all that information. How do they have the address and stuff? There he is, Andrew Foreman.
Andy. I call him Andy. What an Andy. Yeah,
he lives at number 14 Town Lane.
Probably not. So you're talking 1981, 38 years. Obviously, he's probably not there now. Who? Look, Stat, a great feature. Yeah. Have you got any films for me?
Films. I've got a great photo of these
Walking
two.
Mariner. Yeah.
About them being the great goals race. But I've got to show you this bit, Dave. Let's not rush it, because you're right. It was a golden era. So even before Rich and Harry from Bath were there, the town programme were actually doing their own preview of upcoming games. And it's a big bit on our UEFA Cup opponent, St Etienne.
Just a inconsequential game coming up. Oh, look at that shirt. That has got to be one of the great shirts, and it's that.
It has,
look
at
that shirt. Wow.
I don't know what I'm showing you there now.
Johnny, you show me Michel Platini.
Yeah, let's have a look there. Michel Platini, that is
a quality shirt. Wowzers. Le Coq Sportif. Look at that. Brilliant. Yeah, what a player.
My dad never liked him for some reason. Don't know why.
Getting there.
Here we go.
Go on.
Well, so we've got the ABC and the Odeon.
Yeah.
Wow.
it's soft porn, isn't it, again?
At the Odeon, there was one about a young girl who was kidnapped by seven oldish men. They looked quite old.
What?
They weren't very tall. I think they kidnapped her. Oh, that's what I remember.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, yeah. And then you had...
Good description, Stat. Love it.
That was a U.
Yeah.
Bodyguard was on Screen 2. That was an A.
No.
This one you were telling me about the other night on Screen 3, Lemon Popsicle. That was an X-rated film.
No, I don't think so.
Other films to mention were Warlords of Atlantis.
Oh, right, yeah.
Patrick and Duff. Divine Madness, which I thought was a compilation album for Madness.
Certainly was, mate.
Yeah.
It certainly was. Divine
and it was
Madness.
A film as
yeah.
well.
I don't think it's a film about the group somehow.
You're going to like this, right?
Go on.
So we're going to play an opposite version of Pointless, because I don't want you to give me a pointless answer, because I've only got some answers here.
Right.
They could be... Well, I'll tell you what it is.
Go on.
Gaumont live shows between February and April 29, 1981. God. Can you name one act?
Status quo. Because they're always there.
No. Not a bad guess, though.
Is there some big names?
Yeah. One of them, he changed his name to what you could argue to be the biggest name ever in pop or rock.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content. Meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Change his name. Yeah.
Obviously not Elton John.
No. If I was to say to you, who's got the most famous name in musical history? Well,
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley, yeah. So he changed his name to Elvis.
Oh, Elvis Costello in the attraction.
Elvis Costello, yeah.
Oh, man. Actually, Christ, I haven't even been there. I've seen him play at the Gaumont.
Yeah, that was the 29th of March, 1981. Camel.
Heavy prog rock band, I think.
Crocus.
No.
Mo Bandy.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's what it does say. Steel Eye Span.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Pride. Was he a comedian?
Country singer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Elvis Costello. Leo Sayer.
Oh, yeah. Leo, yeah.
Sydney Devine and Roger Whittaker.
Christ, they had some folk singer. But I have got the ultimate number one, mate, from that week in 1981. And it is a really well-known pop. If you ever go to a pop quiz...
Yeah.
One of the questions could be, which record kept No, I'll say it anyway because I'm not sure how to put the question. So, Ultravox Vienna, right, probably known as one of the greatest ever number two records that stayed at number two, never to get to number one. And this is always in a has been pop quizzes. Everyone's shouting it out there, all our 10 listeners. Which record and who was it by kept it off number one?
I've always wanted to say this to you. Shut Up In Your Face by Dolce.
Joe Dolce, actually, Shut Up In Your Face.
He's probably as good as impressions. Cause he was just a normal guy, wasn't he?
What's the matter, you? Yeah, he was, I think. Yeah, I don't think he was.
Terrible Welsh impression that was whenever awful, I listened to it.
Sorry, mate. Awful.
And it kept Ultravox off the...
It kept Vienna, off number one. But what a season. And we're not finished with that season.
We're not.
That. But however, we are for next. We are for now, because where are we going next?
So it's the 26th of February, 1983. It's a Saturday. Kickoff, as always, you know, mainly... 3 o'clock. You know, I keep saying that, and I think, well, everyone knows where it is. Bobby Ferguson is in the town dugout. So maybe you can tell me a little bit about him and his team as it evolves, particularly this, the lineup for here. And we were playing Luton Town, who apparently were in the top flight of football.
They were.
Do you know who they were managed by?
I would think Luton Town were managed by David Pleat, who would come to the nation's attention a few months later, actually, particularly after the last game of the season. We'll do a bit on that in a minute.
Yeah, he did that. Yeah, that was that little thing, little dance. Right. So there's 18,615 turn up. Town are 11th.
So this is significant for me because this is the season, 82-83, where... Robson's gone. So Robson's gone the previous close season to, as we know, to England. So this is a season where the team, the great Robson team, starts to break up. And it's already showing in the attendances, look.
Yeah. I mean, 18,000.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what the... So there was an injury before the game. Franz Tyson had clashed with Butcher in training.
Right.
So he missed out with a calf strain.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we've then got this team here. Paul Cooper.
Yeah.
Trevor Putney.
Yeah. Underrated Putney. I like Putney. Yeah.
Irvin Gernon.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Parkin.
We've spoken about him,
See what I mean? You look at the... Ignoring Cooper in there, you look at those three and you think...
Burley, no Mills who had gone, no Tyson, as we said. Yeah.
So then we've got Osman, Butcher...
Yeah,
Walk, McCall, Mariner, Brazil, and O'Callaghan.
So what I'd say to that, looking at that team, shortly Brazil was going to go to Spurs.
Yeah,
and within a couple of months, 6 weeks, Tyson was going to leave as well.
Well, I'm not surprised if Butcher kept injuring him in training. You know,
I think that's why. If Terry's going to keep kicking me, I'm going. Sorry, Frank.
He's Dutch. You've got to go. Yeah, for sure.
For sure. For sure. If Butch keeps kicking me, I'm going. For sure.
I'm off.
I'm going to Forest with Clough.
that was terrible. One thing to bring into this game, Paul Mariner was the captain. And obviously it was a reasonably new role for him. And there was a bit in the programme with Bobby Ferguson talking in his notes to say, because Mariner hadn't scored in the previous eight, and he was saying, you know, that he's got a different job to do in the team now and how difficult he thought it was, Paul Mariner being the captain, but leading from the front. And then I got that, but then I look at the team and think, well, why couldn't you pick anybody else in that team to be captain? This is not an anti-Paul. I love Paul Mariner, don't get me wrong, but Ferguson highlighted the fact that he felt he hadn't scored because he's got the
fresh
shoulder and the captain.
Yeah, I mean, looking at that, you'd think Butcher was perhaps be ready for him, Russell Osman. I mean, obviously, Butcher did it. But again, looking at the team and the players that are missing that were still at the club, so no Burley.
No.
Mills are gone. No Tyson. No Gates. Eric Gates not there. Yeah.
So
what we got for Luton stat?
Jack Findlay was the goal.
It's actually Jake.
It's not what I've written down.
Jack's, Yeah, I know, but I'm okay. not far be it from me to pick you up on that. Yeah.
This next guy, I keep thinking snooker he's a snooker player. Yeah, Kirk Stevens.
He's a bloody snooker player, mate. Where's a cream suit? A cream three-piece suit.
Do you reckon that when the goals start going in for Town, at some point they look at him and say, we need snookers now? I would have done.
I remember
this
Kirk
guy,
Stevens making a 1-4-7 break.
What, at Portman Road?
At Portman Road.
Yeah.
Same place, yeah.
Now, back in the 80s, things were probably just a start. You had Prince and stuff coming along, but he always says that he was influenced by the Luton Town player who just went by the name Turner. I could find no other name for him.
I think it's Ian Turner.
Ian Turner.
I think so.
Okay. Brian Horton.
Yep.
Obviously went on to
manage
Hull City. Is where
Man
I think
City?
Man City. Man, yeah.
Yeah.
Clive Goodyear.
Yeah. Centre back.
He was tired at the end. Mal Donaghy.
Yeah, Man U ultimately went to play.
Ricky Hill. Now, I remember Ricky Hill. He was a player. Yeah.
Player. Yeah.
Now, this next thing worried
Jimmy,
me.
Jimmy White? Hang on. Yeah. Bloody snooker.
his name is White.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when I looked in the programme notes, and I'm not suggesting the clubs, they're wrong.
Go on.
But when I looked down on the back, his name wasn't there. Right?
Sorry. Ian Turner. I meant Wayne Turner, of course, when I said Ian.
Yeah. Oh, he's down there. How did I miss him? But anyway, White's not there.
Yeah.
So I then go into the programme to look at the programme notes. This is how I was to spend most of my evenings.
David White?
And they talk about Steve White.
Oh, Steve White. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then this is what worries me. And it's when you're not at the game and you're relying on other people's information.
I think Steve White is correct.
Here we go. This is what the programme says. I should have put more of a light on. So the next player in that lineup was Paul Walsh, okay?
Yeah,
so the programme says, it was from Charlton that Luton made one of the season's best signings in capturing lithesome Paul Walsh.
Okay.
And allowing last season's top marksman, Steve White, to join the Londoners in part exchange.
Oh, no. Oh, no, this is confusing.
So who is that White?
Have you got a picture of him? Why?
No.
I know he wouldn't be there because he's gone to Charlton.
Walsh, yeah.
Oh, it's a program balls
so,
up, isn't it?
You know, if you are a Luton fan watching this, tell us who White is.
Stevie White.
Yeah, Lil Fichillo. And David Moss.
Yeah, left winger, good player. Yeah, good Luton side there. I mean, they were, you know, that side's known for. He kept them up that season. Pleat kept them up, and what we were talking about earlier was. The last day of the season away at Man City, they whoever won went down. They beat them. I think Luton needed a win. City needed a point. Luton got a win. Raddy and Tiche, I remember, scored the goal, and that's when he had a nice beige suit and nice tan loafers on, didn't he? And he was across the pitch at the end like this, wasn't he? David Pleat. Yeah, that's what
we've
been known.
Skip as he went along.
Known for that, and also curb crawling, I believe. But anyway, let's move on.
Didn't have that in the programme. So the disappointing thing about this game is that couldn't find the goals. No goals. So I'm just going to tell you how the goals went in. Second minute, Brazil scored.
I remember Putney scoring.
Yeah, 46th minute, Walk. That's his 16th goal of the season. So still weighing in with the goals. Brilliant. From midfield.
Yeah,
and in the 56th minute, you're right. Putney, he scored his first goal for the club.
I mean, decent, you know, decent. We went on to finish ninth, so decent, although way off, you know, first season, other than when we missed out, when we won the cup, when we had a terrible season in the league. First season, we'd missed out in eons, you know, Europe, 10 seasons probably in Europe, finished ninth, 10 points off a European spot. But yeah, this was the season where the great Robson had gone. I think the people always talk about the building of the Pioneer Stand and was it a right decision or not. Well, the decision with taking to build the Pioneer Stand was every single seat at Portman Road had been sold as a season ticket. It's incredible, isn't it? So, you know, the Pioneer Stand, the decision was made to build that. And yeah, I don't know, probably quite correctly at the time. But then the players were coming. Robson left. The players were coming to the end of their contract. I think the season before, he'd only persuaded Moorin to stay for the 81-82 season. He wanted to go, but I think he promised, look, you can go on a free transfer, stay one more season. Robson wanted one last shot at the league. Ultimately, Liverpool finished second. So he had left. And I think the big thing with this season is it was Ferguson, as you said, Ferguson's first season. And I think wanting to put his stamp on the team and perhaps on the club, he got rid of Mills at 32. Got rid of Mills in, I think, October that season. I think he started the season, sold him to Southampton, and he had, what, two or three more brilliant seasons at Southampton because Robson had left him out of the England squad. So he was no longer an England player. And he had two or three, I think he perhaps even captain, went on a captain Southampton as well.
Going back, if you go back to 1982-83 and Bobby Robson turns down England and he's still at Portman Road, do you think that we would be looking at a similar sort of thing? Was it a team in decline? Did he get out at the right time, or, you know,
possibly, but, you know, would the players have stayed for Robson? This is the thing. I don't know, you know, that's a hell of a good question, hell of a big question. That would the players have stayed? I think it's no secret. I think Patrick would have been then, said, look, okay, we won't stand in your way if you go to England, if you go, but look, if you decide not to go, here's a 10-year contract. I think it literally, so that's a really, really good question, Stat. I suppose age-wise, some of the players, I mean, obviously Beattie had gone, but when you say that, it's still quite young. You know, Osman and Butcher are still pretty young. What are they, 23, 24? Walkie can't be much more than that. Mariner maybe a bit of Brazil. So when you say that, mate, the nucleus of the side is still pretty young and it's prime, really. A number of things. I think, you know, people found it difficult. The players found it difficult after Robson went. And I know, you know, players putting in transfer requests. So you've got there, you know, like, you know, not long after that, I think we said earlier, Brazil was going to leave shortly after. As one of his last goals, I would have thought, for the team.
He scored one more after that, and it was £470,000 he went off to Spurs for.
Which, you know, when you look at it, you know, you look at, say, how some of the players moved around their money-wise. You know, Francis would have been a £1 million player 5 years before.
Andy Gray, £1.5 million 4 years before.
And this is, I think, this is the thing, Stat. The players had run down the ground. We sold these players on the cheap. We really did. I don't think we got the true valuation, you know, for these players at all. Tyson was to leave, I think, in the April. All right, again, that was an agreement. He agreed to stay, and I think he if an offer came in for him, so he left. So it was... It was the start of the demise of the great side, and certainly for the next sort of next season. I remember certainly the season after with relegation, around the relegation spot, but managed to stay up. But yeah, great memories. Go on, cheer me up with a program. Go on,
we got the mascot.
Who we got?
Hang on, we haven't looked at the front of the program, haven't we? Just got to check where the price is.
Right, let's try and name the players. You've got Russell Osmond, you've got Frank Stapleton.
Who the hell is that? Osmond's wearing a black armband by the looks of it.
Yeah. You've got Frank, that's me and you, Frank Stapleton. Yeah.
And there's Frank.
It'll be Norman White. Oh, no, it could be. That could be Norman Whiteside.
You reckon?
Yeah, because it could be. What do you reckon?
Let me have a look here. Could be. Good shout. Yeah. How much was the programme?
Well, so it's 83, so it's, oh, that must be 40p by now.
40p, you're getting good at this now.
Yeah. I'm good at this, man. What was at the cinema?
Well, I'm going to tell you who the mascot is, first of all.
Go on,
wow. Let me just get further away. So here's a picture of the young man.
Yeah. Nice smile. Nice pose.
Also, he's got the... It looks like you when you were younger. If you had a tie on now.
Same sort of hair, a bit longer.
So here it is. Our mascot for today's game against Luton Town is 11-year-old James Porter of Moorea. I don't know how you pronounce this. M-O-O-R-E-A. Moorea?
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
Gorse Hill Road.
Yeah.
Virginia Water.
Christ almighty.
Sorry.
It's the other side of London.
His favourite player is Eric Gates, and he attends Skatecliff School.
Okay.
Wow. Virginia Water. Can you imagine? He must have been like, who do you support? Ipswich.
Virginia Water down near Ascot.
It is. Been there. It's a lovely place to walk around.
Big totem pole around that.
There is a totem pole. Yeah, got the Stat family have got their photo by that.
There you go.
Big totem pole.
I think we have with the boys. Yeah.
Right. We've got the Gaumont.
Yeah.
At this point, oh no, there is a film theatre. Oh no, the Gaumont must have not been a. There's no films for the Gaumont in here. Just live on stage.
Maybe that's when it stopped. Yeah, it stopped early 80s.
I'm going to get excited by a couple of these.
Go on.
So
80, this is 83, because I was going to gigs certainly back in 83 there. Go on.
Van Morrison.
Christ almighty. The Gaumont, Jesus. Yeah.
1-0. K-k.
Don't know.
Oh, 10cc. UFO.
Yeah, heavy metal. Yeah.
Leo Sayer, he was there.
Is he a permanent residency? He's a bit like Vegas.
Yeah. Spandau Ballet.
I saw him. I went to that concert. I went to that gig. Yeah. I saw Spandau Ballet. Crap. They're on for about 50 minutes. The PA was crap. And that's all they did. Yeah, got booed off. Yeah, I went to that concert.
Did they do Alan Lee Gold?
They certainly did Gold. They just released Gold, the album. Yeah, they did. True. Yeah.
Marillion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jasper Carrot.
Yeah, okay.
And OMD.
Wow. And I've seen OMD loads of times there. Whether I saw him 83, possibly not. No, I can't really remember seeing him there.
There are some great films. I mean, you probably would have been watching Private Lessons, which was an X-rated one on the screen 3. But there were two big films that one of them won an Oscar.
Wow.
Some Oscars, I think. It might not be. My movie knowledge is quite limited. And the other one was one of the first sort of family blockbusters.
Okay.
Do you want to have a guess? You might want to phone a friend.
Yeah, I need some help. I need some help from the audience.
Phone a friend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, ET. I see what you did.
Yeah, so you know him right over your head, that one.
You're good at this, mate. You're good.
And the other one would be what if you wore a police uniform and you and I were out in the pub, people might look across at us and say, "Oh, if you see over there, there's someone else." That's a rubbish clue. An officer. You'd be an officer.
And a gentleman.
Yeah.
Oh, you're really good at this. I don't start. Love it, mate.
I've got to look at this. There's a picture of Ron Ellis.
The picture of Ron?
Yeah.
Come on.
The legend.
Oh, the ledge. Look at him. There he is. Yeah, Ronnie. Yeah.
All Mariners happy there.
What's his memory game today?
Let's have a look.
Attach from Franz there going on in the background.
This is all about him and how he remembers everything, and is it actually talks about a book which they plan to publish in 1986, which will be our fifth. So that must have been the
Men Who
3 years
the
before the Men Who Made the Town. They mentioned it.
Yeah.
Let's have a go.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
You've got it. The best book ever.
Oh, mate. It was back in the day, wasn't it? I think this is probably the best book ever. Full of statistical.
Yeah, but the other one is.
Yeah, the other one is the book, isn't it? Yeah, it's big. It's big and thick.
Well, I'm going to take you to 5 years ago. Ron Ellis takes us to February the 25th, 1978.
Oh, okay.
We were away.
Yeah.
We won 1-0.
Yeah.
The only goal was scored by Clive Woods.
We won 1-0 at Newcastle.
We did, correct. And look at that huge crowd. Come on, Sky Sports News, because they always say that Newcastle fans are the most loyal in the land.
18,000? 22,000. 22. Wow.
Yeah.
Brilliant, mate.
First away win of the season.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I've got a great number. Again, I've got a brilliant number one for you. So Saturday, when you go in front of the... Saturday, when you're at the Curve Bar... Oh, we'll get onto that in a minute. But Saturday, when you're at the Curve Bar for the live show...
Yeah.
If you get embarrassed, if you get embarrassed, you'll be too
drunk.
Maybe it's a crap clue. I'm not as good at this as you are. Or maybe you're just not good at picking them up.
Or sometimes
if you
get embarrassed,
you'll be too...
Pride?
No, you won't be bashful. You'll be too...
So it's something to do with... it's something to do with one
You'll be too shy.
Oh, too shy. Catch a goo-goo.
Catch a goo-goo, mate.
There wasn't one of those dwarfs called Shy, was there? That's what I was thinking. I thought it's not Doc.
Too shy, mate. Yeah. Bit about that. That was one of the songs on the very, 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 very first. Now this is what I call music. That's what it used to be called. Album. That was on there.
What number did they give that one?
Funny enough, it was number one.
Yeah. So even then, did they call it Now One, or did they do Now That's What I Call Music?
Oh no! It was Now That's What I Call Music One. Yeah.
And was it one?
And then when they dropped the That's What I Call Music was about, I don't know, obviously later on.
I'm just thinking of all the money.
They're up to like 100 and something, aren't they?
Yeah, I'd say.
I'm sure they're past now 100.
Yeah, 107. I'm going to say.
Yeah, all right,
I wouldn't say many more than that. So now. As you picked it, and it's an 80s special.
I know, we've never done this before. It's a week after.
And my throat is going. We're going back to 1981 again.
We are, mate. We are. And again, for me, memories of this game, I was at this game. Go on, Stat.
So, yeah, it's 28th Set of it February. Up. We're at Highfield Road, which in new money, old money was Rico Arena.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So Coventry City are managed by Gordon Milne, who in my mind always managed Coventry City for a long, long time.
Yeah, I think he managed Leicester as well.
Obviously Bobby is still in the still Ipswich manager then.
Yeah.
So just following on from the previous game, so we're now on a run of six consecutive wins. So we're still top, and we face quite a good, I think, looking at this team.
Yeah, I didn't realise.
Coventry City side.
A decent side, yeah. I mean, that's just how we were in those days. But look at the Coventry side, yeah.
So you can fill in the first names. So we've got Seeley. Yeah.
So you've got Les Seeley.
Yeah, Thomas.
Danny Thomas. Spurs. Danny Thomas, yeah, Spurs, yeah.
Roberts.
it's a name you won't hear now in the Premier League now. Harry.
Harry Roberts.
Yeah, Harry Roberts, yeah.
Yeah, Jacobs.
Steve Jacobs.
Yeah, Dyson.
That's Paul Dyson.
Yeah.
Paul Dyson. Yeah. Vent Hoover later on after he left football.
Gary Gillespie.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Paul Bodak.
Peter Bodak. Well, I play for Man U. Flying winger. Quick winger.
Daly.
Jerry Daly. German newspaper. The old ones are the craziest, aren't they?
Thompson.
Well, we spoke about him earlier. Gary Thompson. Yeah. Big black striker.
English.
Tommy English, yep. Came from round here.
Tommy
actually.
English. Yeah. That sounds like he could be a wrestler in WWF or something like that.
Sounds like he should be in Peaky Blinders or something.
Yeah.
Tommy Shelby.
And Hunt.
Steve Hunt.
Steve Hunt. Wow. He played for a long time.
Stephen Hunt. Yeah. He played till he was 53.
Yeah. Still didn't score.
He did. He did at Charlton, to be perfectly honest, didn't he?
Didn't score at us, did he? Just going off. And I liked him, but he... Got to nearly 50 appearances without a goal, which is not great for that position. But anyway, back to 1981. I don't want to distract you from this.
Go on.
So, Town team, Cooper.
That was Noel who scored at Charlton, of course, not Steve Hunt. Yeah, go on.
Cooper. So, we've got Mills and Beattie.
Let me stop you there. Beattie's last league appearance.
Playing at left back.
Played two more games. Played St Etienne away. And the cup semi-final, which was his last game at Villa Park against Man City. That was it. Done.
Sad.
Incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
Osman and Butcher were obviously, you know, cemented as the two centre-halves there.
Yeah.
Midfield of Tyson, McCall, Muren.
Yeah, strong side. Yeah,
and you look at this. Mariner, Brazil and Gates.
Yeah, that's strong. That's strong, yeah. I mean, Beattie was probably only then playing at, I don't know, what, 70%, probably 80% max, probably. But yeah, what a strong side, look at it. Yeah, again,
this,
you know.
This game shows how strong we are, you know, that we're top of the table, we won the previous six or whatever, and then we decide to go out and, you see the goals, how they go in. 32nd minute, Brazil. Tyson's got this lovely dribbling pass. That's what I always remember about him.
great, isn't it? Like he's sort of like, I don't know, he doesn't, because he's not quick, so he dribbles, that's what it is. Dribbles past players, and he's incredible. He's got really sort of like a body swerve, isn't it, more than anything. It's just carves them open. It's brilliant.
Particularly Absolutely then, it stood out, because when you go back and look at it, I'm not saying that the football back in the 70s and 80s was agricultural, but a lot of what you see was a player getting the ball and then just kicking it past the defender.
And running after. Yeah. I mean, what I would say about this game, you look at the footage of that game, I remember being soaked on the terraces. I think it was open terrace. It was horrific. The game was horrific, you know, probably to the point of, I remember, forking over the pitch at half time and thinking, shit, they were going to abandon this. It was that bad that day.
It was churned up. And so he puts a pass into the box and Mariner just finds himself in the wrong position. But Brazil then just kind of leaps forward like a gazelle, and from 3 yards out, sticks it in the back of the net. 32nd minute, 1-0.
Mercy from 3 yards.
So you were at this game?
Yeah. Went with my mate Dinger. I remember went with my mate Dinger, bless him. And like five of us in his Mark 1 Ford Escort. There you go. Wow. On the old no A14 in those days, mate. On the A45 through bloody St Neots and places like that. Yeah.
Would you agree that the Mark 3 Ford Escort was the best of all of them?
The Mark 3. I had a Mark III Ford Escort, so I'd say yes, Dan.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, they were. Do you have an XR3i, Stat?
Was that the only one? No, I didn't have one, but I would have done. I think that when I was old enough to drive...
That would have been heavy insurance, though, mate. Yeah. Even those days, that would have been heavy. Yeah.
I've got one now, though. Nice.
What?
Yeah. XR3i,
XR3i, yeah. Soft top, so cabriolet. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Leather seats. Yeah. Wow. So you, I'm hoping you remember the next goal, because it was a great goal. Tyson's got a lovely pass, just weighs it in towards Gates as he's running into the penalty area. And he's got like this messy like finish. It's just, you can just kind of say what the goal was. Just a fantastic goal with the pass and how Gates then took the ball and then goes around the defenders and stuff to put it in the back of the net.
Does he? I seem to remember the footage of this when he does a little forward roll afterwards, doesn't he?
That would be brilliant. A little forward roll being
It would be with Eric, wouldn't it? Yeah.
2-0 up after 47 minutes, and then we've got what was the goal of the game. And, you know, the thing that stood out for me here was, first of all, how high up the pitch Russell Osman is. So clearly in the highlights, we've maybe had a corner or something, because he's still kind of, he's certainly in halfway line, and he stabs in his leg and gets a ball, and he just puts his foot out, and the ball finds its way to the feet of McCall, who, from 25 yards, fires it in.
I think he was
in the team because Walkie was out injured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course. My notes are always in a.
No, you're right. I should have picked up on that.
And then 83 minutes. Osman's even further up the pitch. There's a short free kick that goes back to Gates, and his cross finds Osman. And it's an unusual header.
Bad goalkeeping. Les
Seeley does not.
No longer with us, Les Seeley. Yeah.
Tyson was outstanding. And 4-0, top of the league, 7 wins on the trot. Who do you face now? You're away to St Etienne.
So what a run of games. And I know I've said this on the pod before. What a week. This is arguably my favourite week in ITFC. The favourite week in ITFC history. So we played at Coventry. We won 4-0. So we go, spoiler, but we go to St Etienne on the Wednesday, I assume. Maybe two Wednesday, I guess. 4-1. So that's 8 goals. 1 conceded. Then to this day, on the following Saturday, so in the week, we play Forest away in the Cup quarter-final and draw 3-3. To this day, one of my top 5 Ipswich games I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And then, of course, the replay where we said before we beat them 1-0 the following. In that 10-day spell, those games, I'd say it's my favourite spell of being an Ipswich fan. Unbelievable, mate.
You're telling me, and I'm going through the fixtures, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute, he's got that wrong. And then I realised that I'm looking at it from the Wolves programme. So what interests me, actually, is when you said that, because the actual... when did we play Forest in the replay? So we played them on the Saturday.
Oh, following Tuesday.
So what was going to be that season was St Etienne away.
Yeah, I suppose Villa, was it?
Forest away. Then Villa away was on the... So we didn't play Villa, we played
Forest in the replay. Yeah.
Then we had Dan Tottenham.
1-3-0.
Yeah. And then we've got St Etienne. So when does that Villa game?
I know Villa comes reasonably
right.
late.
Yeah.
Villa comes, well, I'll tell you when Villa comes. Villa comes after the cup semi-final. So because it's the very next, it's midweek. So we lose to Man. This is incredible, mate. So we lose to Man City on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And then the following, I want to say Tuesday, could be Wednesday. We're back at Villa, you know, and we win 2-1. I didn't go to that game, and you remember thinking, oh, shit, we won it now.
Yeah.
Well, God, you know, what a result. And then, of course, injuries kicked in, and it all proper fell apart after that. So to the tune, so I looked this. So the last 10 games, this is where it all. So we lost to Man United 1-0 after that Spurs game, I think it was. And in the last 10 games, we won 3, drew 0, lost 7.
Yeah.
Even a few draws in there. 6 points. And Villa were just consistent. Last 10 games, won 5, drew 2, lost 3, 12 points. 6 points diff. And I think they ended up winning the league by about 4 points, maybe 3 or 4 points in the end. We lost our last game. We were top scorers, 77 goals to their 72, plus 34 goal difference against plus 32. But, you know, if ever you needed, you know, a squad, that's when it all caught. And we all know the story that we played 66 games and Villa played 40, whatever it was, 4 or 5 or whatever it was.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you love 1980-81? Because just listening to you then, it sounds like you were full of heartache.
And it is still, and I'm still, you know, the likes of people that watch that, Jules, I'm sure Jules and Ian, people like that, can still feel it. You know, that was a season where, you know, we were the best team in the land. We were the best team in Europe. No, all right, Liverpool again won the European Cup again and beat Real Madrid, I think. But, you know, it wouldn't have taken much more, honestly. We'd have beaten Spurs in the cup final. Seriously, you know, we all know Spurs had beaten us, but we'd beaten Spurs 3-0 the very next week. There really wasn't a lot of squeak between us winning all three. Unprecedented, really. You know, the Man U treble. All right, it's not the European Cup, but certainly, you know, the league, the FA Cup and the UEFA Cup. It was just incredible. And it all started with, you know, you go back to that game in 1980 against Chester, I think it was, when we're talking about it, and it all started where, you know, they stumbled on it, but suddenly withdrew Gates to play in this formation behind Brazil and Mariner, well, you know, or was at the front three. And then it's so clever, you know, if a game got a bit tight and a bit, you know, Gates were just withdrawn to midfield. It's just, yeah, probably, I don't know, I still look back on that season, and Burley, who was never injured, Burley had a brilliant injury, you know, almost injury free. He was a real big miss, I think. I know McCall was a good deputy and stuff, but it was such a settled back four then that he was
Shrewsbury.
A huge miss.
Shrewsbury
away.
Yeah,
that one as well. Yes, Shrewsbury away in the cup, end of January. And then of course, you know, latterly in the sea, you know, Tyson missed a load of games. Mariner was missing games. You can't. I think there was a game where we lost at Norwich. I think I said about this last week. I was having a bit of a Twitter thing with Jules Hughes and talking about the worst derby experience. I said, oh man, I remember that one Easter Monday where we got to Norwich, and it would have been I think we'd combine it, if we'd have won Sunday, it would have been almost as big a shock as that, you know. But then I said, well, we thought about it. When you look at the team, that team had Kevin Steggles playing in it, Tommy Parkin played in it, Robin Turner. It just all, you know, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. It just all caught up with us. But, mate, what a season. But sorry to say, obviously, it's only a week after that Wolves game. Joe Dolce's still number one, mate.
Still number one. You'll be lucky
to know. Still not usurped by Ultravox. I can't believe it, mate. Vienna.
I haven't got the programme, but I did want to mention some names of players who played in the reserve team that season.
I love it. Go on,
mate.
See if
you've got...
Go on.
So
I know one of them. If Albert Hall from Bram, Tony Hall. Tony Hall, was he playing?
Let's have a look. So this was up to, what's this program? So this was up to the Wolves game, which we covered earlier. So Steggles had made 26.
Yeah.
Ronnie Burns.
Irish fullback, I think.
75 appearances. Yeah. Roger Osborne, 24. Tommy Parkin, 24.
Yeah.
DeVray and Hunter both with 24.
Yeah.
Gurnan, 23. Turner, 21. Putney, 22. Scott Endersby.
Yeah, goal.
19.
Goalkeeper.
Cool, there's loads of them. Jimmy King. 19.
He was the one. Jimmy King was the one when he came to the club was going to be the next biggest thing, Jimmy King. And it just never quite worked out for him.
Beattie, 15 appearances, 6 goals. Brian Clough, 16 appearances. Kevin O'Callaghan, 10. Yeah. Laurie Civil, 9. Adam Nichols, 8.
Yeah, vaguely remember him. No, not Tony Hall.
Wait a minute. When you're at home, if you're watching Pointless and they're saying, are you shouting out saying, get on to the Pointless answers? Yeah. You have to wait.
Yeah.
Very well done if you said Adam Nichols with 8. Steve McCall, 6. Peter Shields, 4.
Yeah, fullback. Scottish
John
fullback.
Wisendorn.
No.
So his surname is Wisendoom. Wisendoom. I don't know.
Remember him.
Colin Clark.
Oh, yeah. Went up around Northern Ireland International. Yeah. Clark with an E, yeah.
Dave Hubbock.
Yeah.
Played
for Sudbury. Went to that game. Scored at Wembley for Sudbury, yeah.
Yeah. Alan Brazil, 1 appearance. So we're down to the people who made 1 appearance or 1 start. Paul Cooper.
Yeah.
Mick Mills.
Yeah. Bloody hell. Yeah.
Trevor Sadd. Well done if you said Tony Hall.
Hey, Albert. There you go.
Who made one appearance today.
All
at this
right,
point.
Okay.
And two people who have come on to only made substitute appearances. Ian Templeton.
Okay, yeah. I know the name.
Don Suter.
All right, yeah, Don Suter comes from up, Lowestoft way. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, because Don Suter, I'm pretty sure, played football against him. He was like my age, so in a sort of like a school's cup match or something like that. Pretty sure I may have even played against him, yeah.
Right, I've got one little game for you, and any of the listeners who like this, because it's the sort of thing that I'd like to do, and I think you'd love to do it for 1980-81. So this at the 21st of February. We've got 20-odd teams, 22 teams in the league.
Yeah.
And the way that the programme has it, it has the table, and then over there it has the goal scorers.
All right.
Each team, the top 2 goal scorers.
Wow, go on,
so can you
love it.
We're going to start at the top.
Go on.
Ipswich. Name one of their top goal scorers listed here.
88. So John Walk, yeah.
Yeah. So this is at the 21st of February, 81,
okay.
I remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Aston Villa.
Like Peter Whipple, Gary Shaw.
Yeah, both of them. Liverpool.
81. Dalglish.
8.
81. So we 81. So we said it wouldn't be Rush because Dalglish and McDermott.
Yeah, 9. West Brom.
Regis.
Yeah. 10.
Either Alistair Brown or Tony Brown.
Peter Barnes, is it?
Oh, Peter Barnes. Okay, six. Yeah. Yeah, winger, yeah.
Southampton.
Shannon.
Yeah, 8.
And Moran.
Yeah, 13.
Steve Moran. Yeah.
Yep. Arsenal.
Stapleton.
Yeah, 10.
Sunderland.
Yeah, 5. You're doing well here, Dave. Tottenham.
Garth Crooks and Steve Archibald.
Yeah, 18 for Archibald, 13 for Crooks. Forrest.
Forrest, difficult. Francis?
Nope.
Oh, difficult. Forrest that year, 80-81. Ian Wallace?
Ian Wallace, 8, yeah. And the other guy scored 6.
Because he took penalties. Robertson?
No. Did he have a big money move to Manchester United?
Oh, Davenport?
No. Oh, I don't know this person. Gary Birtles.
Oh, Gary Birtles. Oh, shit. Yeah, cool.
Where did he go?
Where did he go? When did he go?
Did he go to Manchester United?
Yeah.
Birtles. Yeah, all right. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
When I thought I was giving you a duff clue.
No. Yeah, I should have got that.
Manchester United. They've both got 3-letter Christian names.
Alumakari?
Yeah.
And God blimey, that year, Luke Manu. Nah, go on, who's the other one?
Joe Jordan.
Oh, Joe Jordan, yeah, good spot, yeah.
Stoke City, I'll give you a clue. One of them came to Ipswich in 1995 and said, I've never been relegated in my career. At this point in time,
Lee Chapman,
13 goals. Lee Chapman, the other guy you're not going to get,
Painter,
Ursum.
Oh, look, Ursum, yeah. I know the name, yeah.
Manchester City?
Brian Kidd? No, sorry, much too. Bloody hell, City. Oh, sorry, because I was thinking the cup. Kevin Reeves.
Yeah.
And thinking of the cup. Tommy Hutchison?
No, Dennis Stewart.
Oh, Dennis Stewart. Wow, Dennis Stewart.
I'm not even going to mention the next one of these guys who plays for Middlesbrough.
Bosco Jankovic?
Yeah.
Billy Ashcroft?
Johnston.
Oh, Craig Johnston.
Craig Johnston, who went on to Liverpool.
Invented the Adidas Predator.
Yeah. Coventry.
Oh, we should do this. Gary Thompson?
No, we've done with it.
Tommy English?
No.
Oh, shit. Hang on, wait a minute.
One of them, you might see it in your German newspaper.
Oh, Jerry Daly.
And the other one was the very young Stephen Hunt.
Stephen Hunt, okay, yeah. Well, maybe they scored. They couldn't have got many. They weren't even strikers.
Six each.
Okay.
Yeah. Everton with 11 and 7.
Bob Latchford?
No.
Oh, 81. Peter Eastow?
Peter Eastow got 11, yeah. The other guy has got 7. I think he might be Scottish.
It won't be Graham Sharp, would it, too early?
It might be who the McGroom marries in Scotland.
Joe McBride, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Birmingham.
you won Worthington?
Yeah, 12. And the other guy scored 6. Most famous for never ever being approached or becoming the Ipswich Town manager, despite being talked about being the next Ipswich Town manager for the last 10 years. He's been out of football for a while.
Oh, God, he's one of those ones. Kirbishley.
Kirbishley, yeah.
Yeah.
Leeds. I think one of these went on to manage in the Premier League.
Arthur Graham?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, really?
Well, it's Graham. I thought it was George Graham, but
no, it's Arthur Graham.
Yeah,
And one other, Leeds. Oh man, no, I'd never get this.
I reckon you would. That's a good clue. I reckon you would.
Someone would.
No. What would you do if you wanted to put wood in the fire, and it was too big?
Log.
Yeah, but how would you make it smaller? You might have to
chop it.
Yeah. Oh, that's obviously not in then. Harris.
Oh no, Carl Harris. No, it's not chopper. Okay, Carl Harris. Yeah.
Not Chopper Harris. Well, that was a rubbish clue. Sunderland. I don't even know who these two are. 8 and 7.
Raul.
Yeah, Raul.
Raul, man. Oh, Gary Raul. I think his name was Gary Raul, man.
He got 8.
Raul and, I wouldn't know who else was Sunderland. Go on.
Hawley.
Oh, John Hawley. Ex-Leeds, ex-Arsenal.
Wolves, should be able to get these. Just talked about the game.
Andy Gray, John Richards.
Yeah, 9 and 5. 5 for Gray there. Brighton. Irish international.
Michael Robinson.
Yeah. And the other guy.
Jerry Ryan.
Very popular surname in England.
Gordon Smith.
Yep. Norwich City. This is an interesting forward line.
Wow. Norwich City. Crikey. 81, yeah. Fashanu.
Yep, 12.
If
you were a manager and you had Justin Fashanu, who was, you know, lightning quick, stuff like, you know, wasn't big built, you'd kind of want him with a big centre forward to help him and protect him and knock the ball down to him.
Yeah.
Big, yeah. Like a big fat guy.
No, go on, I don't know.
He's big, fat.
Right.
Big, fat, and his first name's Joe.
Oh, Joe, bloody hell, Joe Royal. Shit,
Joe
of course.
Joe Royal, yeah.
Joe Royal, oh, man. Yeah, Joe Royal, yeah. Good
he
one.
He scored 6. So all of the viewers are pleased now that we're down to the last two, which is Leicester.
Lineker?
No. They both only scored 4. One knew his place.
Linex? No. Leicester. Flipping heck. Melrose?
Melrose? Yeah, I said one knew his place.
Oh, Jim Melrose, yeah.
And the other guy wasn't old.
Oh, yeah, Young. Yeah, Steve Young, I thought. Yep. Tony Young, yeah, Young, yeah.
And Crystal Palace.
Shitting hell.
Expensive. Went on to score a lot of goals.
Clive Allen.
Yeah. And the other one, it sometimes masquerades as a pretty poor goalkeeper for Coventry City.
Seeley.
Yeah.
Tony Seeley.
Well, pretty good.
I'll
tell you what you...
What do you reckon? Not bad.
I'd give you...
If you're grading it at one of your students' papers...
One to nine. I don't grade papers, but if I would, I'd give you a solid seven.
Yeah. Geez, thanks,
very,
mate.
Very good pass.
Not bad, mate. Not bad.
For old money, that would be like a B, I'm guessing, for...
Crap, a B.
Yeah.
Mate,
so there you go.
Enjoyed that, mate. Unbelievable. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Enjoyed that. Absolutely enjoyed it. I suppose the next one is obviously a 90s. I'd throw it out there, you know, if there is anyone listening still. Throw it out there. Any suggestions, any games, you know, obviously from the 90s, we've got the brilliant 91-92 season. Even from the infamous 94-95 season.
Which we always thought was the worst season ever, but...
Which we were sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
And then do you think we've got room for another 9-0? No, don't even say that.
Leeds
and then of course through to the Burley years, the latter years.
We'll have to do a 90s, and funny enough, talking about that, the next this week in ITFC history, we're doing live.
We are. I don't think we can give it away. You know, spoil it. We can't give it away, but we can say it's a 90s game, I think, can't we? We can say that much.
And people are coming along to watch us on stage talk about it.
I hope you've got the programme from that game, Stat. I hope we've got a mascot.
Right, we'll have to...
And if it's an address, get hold of him. Get him along.
I can't put too much out there, can I? Because people will kind of know what the game will be.
I've got to find the...
But it's going to be a good night, well, particularly when you and I are on. I'm not sure about what the rest of the night will be like.
Yeah, obviously with the highlights, you know, with the highlight of the show.
And even you got that little stand, £5 selfie with Diamond.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Charles. Yeah. All proceeds to the I don't know. We haven't decided yet, have we?
No. I was going to say, I wonder what you were going to say there.
I was going to be careful.
When the pod would have been just violently cut at the end. Ben's just cut it. We didn't say anything. But so that's sold out. And we've
starts that kicks off at 7, I believe.
Yeah. And
me, you.
Yeah, I think we're in the second half of 3, if you can have 3 halves.
I'll be, yeah. I know I'm doing the review.
Well,
you're
the star. Game. You should be on everything. Is it true that you asked for a throne in your own dressing room?
a rider. Yeah. Asked for some just yellow Smarties. Nothing else.
No, good.
Take all the blue ones and the green ones out.
Because I can remember that Ben said, "What do we all want? We could all have one request." And yours was, you know, your own dressing room, and mine was a bodyguard. So that's what I'm, you know, looking for. And well supported by the Statman family, who are going to kind of see it in another light and think, why on earth did we pay £8 a ticket to watch this?
Exactly, group? Yeah. Only no support from my family. No, my eldest is coming. Yeah, my youngest is brilliant. So I said, Kieran, you coming along? I listen to you. I can hear you every Sunday night. Why do I want to come along to that? So totally derisory. Yeah. And Mrs. D, no interest at all, which I'm pleased about because you'd only heckle, so that's fine.
I'm worried about heckling, definitely.
Looking forward. Well, my son and about 4 of his mates are coming, and I know they're probably going straight from football to the pub beforehand, so there'll no doubt be some heckling from there. But looking forward to it. I mean, because people are coming from far and wide. I know Daryl's over. I think Dennis Sullivan's over, I think, from New York. I think there's even a guy, Alex, I think, is over from Oz, I believe.
Yeah.
So superb. Yeah.
Do you think they'll be asking for their money back? It's a long way to come just to watch us.
It's a boo, get off.
Well, that's probably because they've heard about the prizes. So Ben's doing the CV game.
Yeah.
And our friends at the Greyhound have donated a meal voucher.
Second prize is a meal. That's a meal for one, isn't it? Second prize is a meal for two, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
The old ones are the best.
Yeah.
Tom Van Hulsen, author of Game Changers, has donated
That's great.
A signed copy of Game Changers.
Yeah.
And our friends at the Terrace Life, at the Terrace Life, have donated, I think they've donated, it hasn't arrived yet, one of their excellent retro cups, you know, with the kits on it.
Oh,
and the
really
other
good
thing is a 1990s, and they're telling me it's a one-off. It's a 1990s ITFC replica training kit. Looks great. When you see it, it's in the red, the white, and the blue. And they produced it a while ago, and it took them ages. There was something to do about the badge, and they got the badge on it, but right, then they weren't allowed to use it, I think, from a copyright point of view.
Oh, so they've got donated 12, that.
Yeah, so it's actually a one-off. The only one that they've got that actually has got the
show
the badge
on, isn't
on
it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it?
Shall we pause this and cut it again and then just mention that they gave us a mug and then you and I can sell it on eBay and
absolutely make a bloody fortune, mate.
They'll
absolutely
never know.
Small
so there
fortune.
You go, you're like a dog with two tails tonight.
Superb, mate, Stan. Yeah. Really enjoyed that. Hopefully we'll keep the good feeling going for the game at home to Derby tomorrow night, hopefully. I think we need to win that one.
Yeah, we've needed to win a few, so we might get it right one time. I think we will win.
I think we might if we show the same spirit and the same same spirit and same performance as we did on Sunday. I think Derby can be got at.
Yeah.
But my only fear is they've got quite a potent attack, I think, and our ex forward might have something to say about that. But anyway, Stat, really enjoyed it, mate.
So do you think he'll do one of these funny celebrations that he did, you know, last season? He had like the Mario Kart. And
oh, he had a few, didn't he?
Yeah.
I hope not. No, I hope he does. I hope he does. I hope he celebrates. You know, we've gone all through this, for God's sake. Yeah. I hope he doesn't,
because that would mean he scored, Dave.
Well, no, is that yes. Okay, yeah. If by any chance we're 4-0 up and he gets a late consolation, I hope he celebrates.
Will you stand up and applaud him if it's 4-1 and you...
Not where I'm sitting tomorrow, Stat. I can't really, can I? I'm in the posh seats tomorrow, so I've got to be a little bit. But yeah, I'll probably give him a polite...
Is that why you started getting dressed now with the shirt? Is a tie coming? You slowly
late
getting
home,
ready.
Late home from work, mate. Late home from work tonight. But brilliant, mate. Really enjoyed it. We'll catch up. We don't catch up tomorrow. Usually you ignore me at football. I know, at Portman Road. That's fine. We'll catch up Saturday. Looking forward to that. It'd be brilliant.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Cheers, Dave. Right,
cheers, mate. Cheers, Stat.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.